be spoken and only the truth heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, after many years in ministry and many Palm Sundays, I found myself this year reflecting in a different direction. I wondered what Jesus was thinking as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. We often focus on the accolades of the crowd, the shouting of hosannas, the waving of palm branches, and we kind of like the excitement and delight of the parade around the church. It's a little bit like the parades for a winning sports team or the Santa Claus parade. Why did Jesus choose to do this? It seemed like such an odd thing to do when he surely knew the tensions that had been building up around his ministry. He knew the expectations that people were clamoring for. He knew the disciples were excited about what might be about to happen, and he knew that they did not get it. Establishing of the kingdom again, here and now, freedom from Rome, all of those things were being mixed up. And he knew that whatever was coming would be costly. I rather think he would have given a thumbs up to this description of leadership from the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Roman Williams. You're always on show. You're always out there to be interpreted, to be part of somebody's story. You're always being told by competing voices to become an echo chamber for their positions. And I've often said, when people say, "What we want from you is leadership," what they mean is, what we want from you is for you to say what we say, only louder. And so maintaining any kind of balance or perspective, even integrity, is just hard work. Jesus knew that. Even as he listened to the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, he knew he would not be giving them a new kingdom of David. He knew as the crowd pressed in around him that he would not fulfill all their expectations. They wanted a king, a man of power, to go head to head with Rome. We do on this day combine the palm readings with the passion because they are linked. In a few short days, Jesus would be washing the disciples' feet and calling them to servant leadership that looked very different, and telling them that love was sacrificial, calling them to love enough to give up their life. In a few days and over this week, we will walk with Jesus into that upper room where he washes feet and lays a table and says, "This is my body, this is my blood." We will stand with the disciples who couldn't stay awake in Gethsemane, and we will stand alongside them and they say, "I didn't know him, have no idea who he was," as he is arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. Why did Jesus do this on Palm Sunday? I expect that he knew the people needed hope, and he was their icon of hope. But he subverted the image of power somewhat as he rode in on a donkey. Now, I don't know about you, but that's hardly majestic and powerful. I watched somebody in a palm procession at a school one time, riding in on a donkey, and it looked profoundly uncomfortable. His feet were dragging along the ground. It was awkward. It was bumpy. I think Jesus chose the donkey because it would be pointing to something else. He accepted their voices raised in praise without buying into the image that they wanted. And some of those voices of praise would very soon turn into bewilderment and anger when he didn't do what they expected. It is a salutary reminder that when we want a leader, we may get the one we need, not the one we want. As a bishop, I am very aware of the dangers of this for both the leader and the people. As a leader, I know that I cannot fulfill the desires of every Anglican and must always consider multiple factors in any decisions, and there is inevitably anger when I do not or cannot give someone what they want. When I'm not strong enough in my words, when I gave them the wrong message, when I told them the truth about their parish, or assigned them a priest they did not like. I look to Jesus as a model of one who, in Rowan Williams' words, kept his integrity. He did not promise what could not be given. He called the disciples and those around him consistently to God's mercy and compassion and justice. He pointed to God and did not desire the glory for himself. He served, he washed feet. He listened to outcasts and strangers. He supported women, healed those who came to him, and consistently stayed focused on his purpose through prayer. The danger for the leader is to give in to what people want. It is so much easier. Pilate gave in. Or to exploit it, as political leaders do. If I just give them what they want, they'll keep me in power. The danger for the people is to crucify those who don't give us what we want, and to actually miss God's call and presence in what we need. Jesus preached and taught and invited them to another way, and continues to call all the baptized, all those who will follow his way, to the same. I love Holy Week. It is my favorite liturgical season of the year because it confronts us every year with the ways in which we want to be Pilate and give in, or the ways in which we want the people and want only Jesus to do those things for us that we want. And we forget the cost that might be asked of us to stand up. It pulls me back into the heart of what it means to bear the name of Christ, to both catch a vision of God's kingdom that people had. They knew somehow in this Jesus they were seeing something of what God longed to do in the world. And so the palm branches are a rightful acclamation of that. We want to catch a vision of God's kingdom that brings us freedom and fills us with joy. But we also must know as we walk through this week that to follow Jesus and to not abandon him, not betray him, and to stand with him at the cross is to be willing to be there ourselves. To not give in to political expedience, unmet expectations, religious fears, or human sin and evil. We so easily want to walk away. And so we need this annual reminder of what it is to stay firm with integrity to what we know God has called us to and calls our world to be, even though I know at this time it is so hard to hold that vision in the midst of so much pain and suffering and evil and war and human unwillingness to make the changes that need to be made. We need Holy Week. Now I'm going to give my speech that I give to congregations every Holy Week. Do not go home and only come back next Sunday. Yes, we have read the crucifixion gospel. But you need to be here Monday, Thursday to see the servant leader, Jesus Christ, to see the altar stripped, laid bare. You need to be here Good Friday and listen again to that story of power and sin and human evil, and to bring to the foot of the cross your own pain, your own betrayals, your own hurt, your own ways in which the world has put you there. And as Chris said, Easter Vigil, the wonderful moment when the darkness begins to turn to light, where we tell the whole story of God's relationship with humankind, culminating in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then you can come on Sunday and eat hot cross buns and really celebrate with joy in the light that has fully dawned. That is who we are as a Christian people. People able to face the evil and pain of the world, to enter fully into the crucifixion of Christ, and to know that's not the end. No matter how long it takes for the resurrection to be felt and heard and seen in our world or in ourselves, God wins. So I urge you this day, as we've begun this journey with Jesus on a donkey, accepting the acclamations of the people that are rightfully given, Hosanna, 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 and then pointing us to the path that is a costly one. May we have courage to walk with him in this Holy Week and be renewed in hope and faith as we come to that resurrection again. Thanks be to God. Amen.